Thank you for listening to the James Hooper Podcast. This is where you can hear sermons, discussions on various topics, and whatever else I feel like talking about. I trust you'll be encouraged, enlightened, and uplifted by something we say or do. Hang tight. Here we go. All right. Well, I've got a special message this morning, and I'm glad each one of you are here. There's a lot of things happening, a lot of things changing in our lives, and so I wanted to talk this morning about unity in the body of Christ, unity in the kingdom of God, okay? Unity in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, those of you that have been around for a while may remember when I talked about Corinthians, and some of you may not have been here when I actually did a study on Corinthians, but in this chapter, Paul is talking about, well, let me just start reading, and I'll talk about it here in a minute. So verse 3, the B part of verse 3 says, "For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Remember, Paul is responding to letters that was written to him from the Corinthian church about issues. We don't have the benefit of having those letters, but we hear his response. So we can just imagine there's a bunch of yang going on, okay? And so he's fixing to tell us what this particular instance is about, okay? He's about to tell us. So verse 4 says, "For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" So remember, Paul started the church in Corinth, and then Apollos came and took over after Paul left. So Apollos was the follow-up pastor. So what's happening is people that were saved under Paul's ministry are saying, "Well, I'm a disciple of Paul. I'm one of Paul's people. I follow Paul." But then when those that were saved under Apollos' ministry, they have this attachment to Apollos. And I'm Apollos' disciple. I'm of Apollos. And Paul is saying, wait, you're being carnal by saying that, okay? So verse 5, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." He said, in other words, we were just vessels. We were just ministers that God used so that you believed in the Lord. Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." In other words, I planted, but I'm not anybody special. Apollos watered that plant, that seed, but it's God who brings increase. We are here because of God. "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." We'll get our own reward. We work together. We are together in the kingdom of God. We all do different things. All right? Verse 9, listen to this. "For we are God's fellow workers." We are God's fellow workers. Then he says, "You are God's field." And he was saying, you all, y'all. Y'all are God's field. And then he says, "Y'all are God's building." He said, "Me and Apollos, we were fellow workers." In other words, we were partnering with God. But you guys are God's field. You guys are God's building. Okay? And verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." All right? "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now all comes down to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about who built the foundation, who built on it. It's all about Jesus, because you're the building, you're the field, and you're Jesus's. Remember in that verse, it says, "You are." I love that he says, "You are." You are. He just kept repeating, "You are. You're God's field and you're God's building." Okay, verse 16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God?" Now he's talking individually. He's talking collectively, but he's talking individually as well. "And that the Spirit of God dwells in you." If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He keeps saying, he keeps reminding them, you are. You are. This is who you are. This is your identity. They were finding their identity in who they were following. I'm following Paul. I'm a Paulite. I'm an Apollosite. I'm this, that, and the other. No. We're all God's building. We're all God's field. Apollos and I, we were just God's co-workers. We just partnered with God to help bring you into the lay the foundation. He said, I laid the foundation. I was the starter. You have to start with a foundation. I laid the foundation, but Apollos came along. He built on that foundation. So it's still the same building. It's still the same field. It's still the same, and it's all about Jesus, okay? So he's dealing with that. So you individually are the temple of God, and we collectively are the temple of God. Now, there are multiple temples or buildings in Cedar Park. Turnaround Church is just one of the temples of God, one of the buildings of God. New Hope Baptist is one, okay? Hill Country Bible Church is another temple of God or building of God. And I'm not talking about the edifice. I'm not talking about the structure. I'm talking about the people. The people that attend Good Shepherd Lutheran just down the street here, they are the temple of God. They are the building of God. Austin Alive Church that meets after us in this same building, they are part of the same field, of the same building. They are temples. And all the other churches that name the name of Jesus Christ in this city, in Leander, in Northwest Austin, they are all part of the temple of God. They are all the temple of God. They're all the building. We are all one field, okay? We're all we express it differently, but we're all one field. Are you following me now? So now we literally have the opportunity to express this unity. We literally have the opportunity to express this. We have the opportunity to combine efforts to grow the kingdom of God in Cedar Park, in Leander, and Northwest Austin. We have that opportunity. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one. Somebody say amen. Two are better than one. I mean, God told Adam. Adam was created by God, and God said, it's not good that you're alone. So two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. That's why I tell people, when you're in difficulties, when you're in problems, when you're having struggles in your life, do not isolate yourself, because that's what the enemy wants to do. He's just like a ravenous wolf that is waiting for the weak one to leave the pack and go out on its own so he can attack it. Don't get isolated. Do not let yourself be alone, because alone, You have the power, but when you're down under the stuff, when you're under everything, you are susceptible to the enemy's lies. He can start telling you things, and you're going to start believing them. However, when you come together with the body of Christ, when you come in unity and you come in fellowship, you can gain strength from one another, because somebody can say, hey, it's going to get better. Somebody can tell you it's going to be better. Somebody can speak the word of the Lord and speak to you and say, God's going to give you a new car. Somebody can do that. You can sit at home and say, we need a new car. We need a new car. But you need to come together where somebody's going to say, God's going to give you that car. Amen? So verse 11, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and listen to this, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. How many know that? That's the truth. You can take one strand, and you can break that pretty. You put two together, it's a little tougher, but a threefold strand that's twisted together, that's interwoven, that's tied together, it's going to be a lot harder. It's going to take a lot more to do that. I want to talk about a word that we have in our English language called synergy. Synergy. Now, dictionary.com says that synergy is the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. In other words, the scripture says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So there's a multiplicity that comes into effect when you come together with another believer or a group of believers in unity. There is a greater effect of the sum than the sum of the parts. In other words, you have more effect in the community when you have a body that comes together instead of one person out there trying to do it. You have one group trying to do it alone. If you have two groups and they come together and work in unity, then God can exponentially use that their effect, and he can reach further and go further. So synergy is something that we have to keep in mind when we are working in the body of Christ. We have our own relationship with God. We have to develop our relationship with God. But I'm here to tell you, when we work together, it is more powerful. And then there is unity. The title of the sermon is Unity in the Kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." There's a reason why God wants you to be together. God wants, he designed community because he wants you to be together. Psalm 133, this is such a significant scripture, such a significant scripture. 133 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren," and we'll say sistren because it's everybody, "to dwell together in unity. It is like," okay, so this is giving us kind of an analogy of what unity is like. "It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garment." So this is talking about when Moses anointed Aaron as the priest, when they built the tabernacle, and he said, "I want the line, the house of Aaron, they're going to be the Levites. They're going to be the priests, and you need to anoint him." So he took a ram's horn that was hollowed out and it had been filled with oil in a certain mixture that he had given him, and he poured that oil, probably a quart or two of oil, poured that oil on his head, and it began to run down on his head. Can you picture this? Just oil. Quarts and quarts of oil going down all over him, goes down to his robe, off the edge of his robe, down onto it, just covers him. That is what unity is like. Unity is enrobing. It's an enrobing thing. Unity will enrobe us, and it's talking about the anointing, because the oil represents the anointing. That's when God selected him. When that oil was poured on, it was signifying that God had selected him. He was enrobed in that anointing oil. All right, then it says, "It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains." Hermon was a mountain in Jerusalem, around the Jerusalem area, descending upon the mountains of Zion. Okay, so it's like dew that covers the earth. It is a covering. Unity is a covering. Listen to this, "For there," where? In unity, "there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." This is the only place in Scripture where it says God commanded a blessing. Other places he blessed people, but God commands a blessing when there is unity. Because in unity we are enrobed with the anointing. In unity we are covered like the dew. In unity God commands the blessing. And what is the blessing? Life forevermore. Amen. I'm telling you, I get excited about that. So I had this quote. I'd written this quote down, and for some reason, I didn't write down where I got the quote. So I'm going to say author unknown right now. I don't know who the author is. Now, he's writing about staying focused on your relationship with God and not comparing it with others' relationship with God, okay? So he says, "Someone may fear that we are magnifying private religion out of all proportion, that the us of the New Testament is being replaced by a selfish I." In other words, if we're telling people you develop your relationship with God and don't worry about everybody else's, you develop, which we need to learn in the church anyway, we need to learn that's their responsibility to build their relationship, not your job to keep them right. See, I've been in church all my life, and there's been so many people that feel like it's their job to keep people straight. No, that's not your job. Your job is to keep you straight and let God take care of them. He's their child. They're his child. They're not your child, because if you do that, then you're responsible for them. And I ain't going to be responsible for nobody's babies, because, you know, God's got his own. He's going to take care of them. He can take care of them better than me. Anyway, that's just a rant there. Anyway, has it ever occurred to you, listen, this is so cool, occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same tuning fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers met together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. Social religion is perfected when private religion is purified. The body becomes stronger as its members become healthier. The whole church of God gains when the members of when the members that compose it begin to seek a better and higher life. Okay. So what he's saying is focus on, to bring unity, we don't focus on each other. We don't say, hey, you get in line. We don't say, you need to work on this in your life. You need to do this in your life. No, no. We work on our own self. We tune ourselves to God. And if we all focus ourselves on God, then we just automatically come into unity because we're all focused on the same thing. We all have the same goal. We all have the same objective. Now, this is not saying we come into the same, we all come into, because Paul talked about the unity of the faith. He didn't talk about the unity of the uniform. He didn't talk about unity of clothing. He didn't talk about unity of personalities. He didn't talk about, he said, we come into the unity of faith. Everybody being individual, expressing themselves individually, can come together as one when their focus is on God. God can use the diversity of the body of Christ as one to complement one another because, see, I can do things you can't do and you can do things I can't do. You can reach people I can't reach and I can reach people you can't reach. So if we work together, if we maintain our individuality, we still be who God created us to be. We still walk in what God has called us to be, what he's called us to do. We still do that. We be who we are. But God says, come together and work together, and there's where I command the blessing. There's where I command the blessing. So, having said all that, I'm getting around to an announcement. I'm making an announcement. So as of Sunday, August the 6th, we will merge and become one congregation with Austin Alive Church. You were used to confirm that in me.
Yes.
Nate, I'm going to stop and tell you right now. I've been praying about this for a long time. And praying about what God should do. And one of the things was occurring to me was if we should merge with Austin Alive. And I said, God, and this was before we left to go on our trip, on our vacation. I said, God, have somebody speak a word to me. And I'm looking for a prophet, okay? I'm looking for when I get to convention, one of the preachers getting over there and telling me, I said, I want a confirming word. And we came here Friday night to meet with Nate and Amanda and the girls. And we had a nice meeting. We got together and had a good time together. And we were talking about, okay, I was just covering our bases. And I said, and Nate and Amanda, we're covering the refreshment cart. And I said, so Rich and Tanya will be here this next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, Mylon Avery will be preaching. He's the pastor of Austin Alive. Mylon Avery will be preaching. He'll be doing worship. So be sure and be there for that. And before I could walk out, Nate said, you know what I always thought? I always thought we'd probably merge churches. And it was all I could do not say, dang. But I just kept my cool. I said, oh, okay, okay, cool. So we went on. We got in the car, and Sharon said, well, what do you think about that? Because I told Sharon what I told God. Because we'd studied on getting confirmation from God. I said, well, God just used Nate to confirm something in me. Not that, but I was looking for a prophet, a preacher. I was looking for somebody. Nate said, you know what I always thought? And so I prayed about it. And so the whole time I was gone, and then Wednesday night our general bishop, our global bishop, he preached a sermon that just boom, 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 point right at me. And it's like God just confirmed this in me. So then last Monday, we had staff meeting. Leah and Rich and me and Sharon had a staff meeting on Zoom, and I told Rich and Leah, I said, I've got this. This is what I'm thinking, and I want you guys to give me your honest opinion. Tell me what you think. And so I told them what I was thinking. I told them what Nate said, and they both said, I really think that's the best thing to do. I think that's what we're supposed to do. I think that's what we're supposed to do. And it's just, after that, Sharon and I just went, whew, okay. Because, you know, it's a burden to carry something like, when you've got responsibility of people that you're shepherding, that you're covering, there's a responsibility that comes along with it. And I've had that responsibility since we came in April of 2019. And so I just began to do it. And so then I met Wednesday with Mylon Avery, the pastor of Austin Life Church. I said, can you meet me at the church Wednesday? So we came up here and we chatted and we talked. See, I've got a whole statement. I was going to read the actual statement, and I'll probably get to it here in a minute. But we talked about it, and he said, you know, I really think that'd be a good idea. I think that'd be a good idea. So let me finish reading my statement. So the merged church will be known as Austin Alive Church, led by Mylon Avery and his team. We'll be combining resources to be more effective in the kingdom of God for Cedar Park, Leander, and Northwest Austin. Austin Alive has been an established church needing a permanent home for 5 years. They had a building down off of Runberg Lane, and it was a really good building, really nice place, but a very bad location. I mean, they lived in a parsonage right next door to the church, and the house got broken into three times, and twice Kathy was home when they broke into it. So they had to do it. And they had single ladies that said, we're just afraid to come to church. And they said, well, we'll have security, stuff like that. No, no, no. When we stop at red lights, guys are coming and knocking on our windows and stuff. So it's a bad area. So they sold their building, which did not make sense because what they sold it for, they could not buy another building for in Austin. So they have been traveling around. They met in the Boy Scout Center off of 35 and stuff. And Mylon and his wife, they bought a church, a house in Cedar Park. And most of their family lives around this area, Northwest Austin, Cedar Park area. So he met with me one day over here, and we were talking, and I said, you know, we had the Hispanic church meeting at 5. And so I said, I had somebody contact me wanting to meet here for a short period of time, a church out of Leander. A girl had grown up here, and they had started church, but they needed a time to meet. And I said, the only thing I can give you is like 1:30 to 3:30 or something like that. That's all I can give you. And I said, but it didn't work out and all this kind of stuff. He said, would you rent to me? And I said, well, yeah, because Mylon and I are buddies. You know, we're just good friends ever since we can't move down here. So we started doing that. And they loved it because it was a lot cheaper than where they were meeting, but they had this. I said, y'all can use our sound system. You don't have to set up nothing, anything like that. We'll just do that. So we've been working like that. So the combining of people and resources will create a synergy that will have a greater effect than each one of us can have individually. Now here's the kicker. Sharon and I will be moving on to whatever God has next for us, but you'll be in good hands. We have been so enriched by this experience, and even more so by the people we've come to know and love. This does not mean that we don't love you, but we have led you the farthest we can. We planted. Our limitations with the distance between us and other responsibilities has reached its capacity. We have planted. Mylon and his team will water, and God will bring the increase. I truly believe that you will begin to flourish in this new environment. We will finish out July as Turnaround Church, but beginning in August, we'll be combined with Austin Alive Church and meet together as one church at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. So Sharon and I have felt like we've reached our limit of what we can do here. We've been believing God for a house here where we can move here. We've been believing God for this, but it just never seemed to work out, and God just kept opening other doors, kept opening other things. So we believe that this is what God has planned. See, Austin Alive has been looking for a place, but he said, God would never release me to really start pursuing a place. God's never released me, and they were looking to buy a place. And what God did when we came is we took this place and we renovated it. It looked like a senior citizen center when we came. When you came in the door, it was a hallway. There was no foyer. It was a hallway, and that was two classrooms. We opened that up. We refloored. We painted everything. This was like an ugly orange color or whatever. It was paneling and orange. So it just wasn't. And if any of y'all know home interiors, there were just home interiors pictures everywhere. It looked like somebody lived here. And I had a guy come that was the actual bishop of another organization. He was in town to do a wedding, and he came and visited us one Sunday morning. So I took him to lunch after church, and I said, be honest with me. Tell me your first thoughts when you walked in the building. He said, I thought if I was a senior citizen looking for a church, this would be a perfect place for me. And so God has used us to transform this, to make it more modern looking, more up to date, painting the outside, paved the parking lot. God miraculously provided for us. We had 12 people at the time, and God provided for us to pay $18,000 cash to have that parking lot totally repaved, striped, and everything. And I told Mylon, I said, God was preserving this place for you. And we have no debt here. We don't owe anybody anything. And so we're just going to hand the keys to Mylon. Here's your building. You've got room to grow now. They still have some resources when they sold their building. So they can start going. They can start advancing now. They just need a place to be permanent. And he said, we really haven't been able to advertise because nobody wants to go to church at 1:30. He said, we love it because we get to sleep in late, go have brunch, and then come to church. But he said, Sunday morning, you're supposed to go to church at 11. So they're going to move to 11 o'clock, going to have church like normal. But I'm here to tell you, I believe that the timing of this has been so God-ordained that God is letting you guys know by all the blessings that he's gave you, he's got you. He's got you. He's got you. And it's not me. God's used me. I've been partnering with God to lay a foundation here. I've been partnering with God to get things established here. And that's what I do. I get things structured and I get things ordered. But God has brought time for them to come in and join with you guys, for you guys to join hand in hand. And they've already got young leaders. They've already got people that can take this place and really go with it. And I tell you, God has some things planned for this place. He has some great plans for this place. He's got great plans for you. Amen? And at least you won't feel alone because there's three mixed race couples in there, and there's the worship leaders are two sweet girls. They're African American, but they're the pastor's daughter-in-law and her twin sister. So they're already multicultural. They're already multigenerational. They just needed a place to plant, a place to set. And God has helped me and directed me, which I didn't know that's what I was doing. Because I came here to be here temporarily for 6 months is what I came here for. Because I'm thinking, I live in San Marcos. I can't be here. But for some reason, we felt like we should stay. And the district board said, here, we're appointing you pastor of the church. And we've been here for four and a half years, maybe a little over 4.5 years. And so God has really done some things here. I've gotten frustrated because I couldn't be here. You just can't pastor a church from an hour away. I've tried to be involved in the community. When we first started, I was going to every city council meeting. I was going to all the chamber stuff. And then COVID hit, and I couldn't do that. And then I started, I was part of the chamber, and I would do the invocation at the chamber lunches. I was just trying to stay as connected as I could to build the church, but I couldn't stay connected. And God's opened other doors for us. And so, as of August, the 6th is the first Sunday in August. August the 6th, the first joint service. Bishop is coming for that one. Mylon asked, Mylon asked Bishop if he would come and be here for that service. And so we're just letting you know that things are happening and there's going to be some change and there's going to be some issues. Now, you're going to have time. The reason why I wanted to do it this Sunday Leah was scheduled to speak this Sunday, and I was going to speak next Sunday, but I asked her if she could swap with me because I wanted to give you 3 weeks for you to, if you have questions, if you have concerns, if there's something, you know. And I didn't promise him who was going to stay. I didn't say I don't know who's going to stay, but, you know, we've got some good folks here. And he was here the Sunday, the second Sunday we were gone. You got to meet him. You got to experience his style and who he is, and the girls led worship and stuff like that. And so I just want you to know you're in good hands. You're going to be in good hands with Mylan. Mylan's, like I say, he's a good friend of mine. We've been friends ever since I moved here. And we've supported each other. He said, listen, I want to support you in whatever you're doing. He said, if you ever need this building, you don't have to pay a dime. You can just use this building for something if you want to. He said, I want you to do that. I want to support you in whatever you go. We don't know exactly what God's doing. This is a faith step for us because this is our income. This is part of our income. The rent that Mylan and them pays, that pays part of my... When we lost Elim, the Hispanic church, that was part of my income that went away because that's where my salary came from, was the rent checks. And so now I'm not going to have that. So this is a faith step for us, but I believe God has some things planned for us, some things. I'm already in the working on my second book. I've got the rough draft already done. I'm working on doing the editing and stuff like that and tweaking it and getting it ready to go. I just believe God is going to do some great things. You are going to experience more of what God has for you. I guarantee you, you are. I'm glad you took the time to listen to the James Hooper podcast. If you'd do me a favor, give us a like. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, rate and review us so others can find the podcast. If you want to contact us, go to jhimonline.org or send us an email at info@jhimonline.org. Until next time, have a great day.